Welcome to the PSP podcast. I'm Levon McCormack, PSPA's volunteer coordinator, and today we're here celebrating National Volunteers Week and shining a light on the amazing volunteers who help PSPA provide essential support, information and awareness raising across the UK, and we wouldn't be able to manage without them. We've almost 200 loyal volunteers, some long-standing and some very new, and they're all doing amazing things to help support people in their communities across the UK. So this support, just in 2023, included hosting 140 support group meetings, supporting 12 individuals and families through the Link service, so the Link volunteering service, which we'll talk about a little bit more in detail later on. And we provided 19 education sessions to healthcare professionals, and we've taken many calls on the evening helpline. So joining me on the PSPA podcast today is Sally Reynolds. So Sally has been a PSPA volunteer for more than 10 years, I believe, and she's helped to run the Hampshire support group. And last year, Sally also signed up to become a Link volunteer too. So welcome, Sally.
Hello. I was amazed when I read that I'd been doing it 10 years.
It is 10 years, is it?
Yeah.
Yes, that is a very long time. That shows massive commitment, which is fantastic. So what inspired you? Let's go straight in there. What inspired you to be a volunteer with PSPA?
Well, I started going to the support group first. That was my foot in the door, if you like, with my husband who had PSP, and saw not just how much the group supported him, but also supported me as his carer. And it helped him a lot by having other people around. I naturally gravitated to helping Louisa, who runs the group, because it meant that he could talk to people in the group and form his own relationships instead of just always being with me. And so after a while, it just seemed a natural progression and in a way an extension of my job that I had at the time to actually become officially a volunteer instead of just turning up to work with Louisa.
Okay, so what do you feel is the most rewarding part of helping to organise and run the Hampshire support group meetings?
A couple of things really stood out when I was thinking about this. The loveliest thing is experiencing the group itself, how the members all support each other, watching friendships evolve, relationships develop, and they're all there to support each other when someone becomes less well. And even when that somebody comes in and tells us that their partner's died, the group is just there for each other. The other thing that the group is very good at is sharing knowledge and information with us, with each other, and sometimes feeding back information back to other professionals. So it really feels like this group works as a team in learning and supporting each other. We're also really, really lucky in that aspect that we have a lovely consultant with us who comes to the group. So he gets a lot more time with people than he will in his appointments. Okay. And so the learning is very much a two-way process with him as well. And the last thing is the group, they take part in research as well. They're very much into research, always questioning us, what else is going on? Mm. What else can you tell us about? Even having that conversation this morning. And not least, a lot of them raise money themselves to support the association.
There's a lot of good stuff going on in the group then. You mentioned that there's huge support there amongst the people who attend, and they support each other through the hard times. I've had a few emails now from support group leaders saying that certain person's passed away and they're all be attending the funeral. So it really does sound like there's that bond there between the members, which is really good.
Yeah, some of them have been coming for years, and so we really have quite deep relationships with them. The other thing Louise and I really like, is that people come back after a while after somebody's died, because partly because of the relationships they've got with the group, but they're also still able to support people in the group. And there have been times in our lives that something's been going on with one of us, and the group just notices, and then they turn everything on us and say, okay, we're going to look after you today. You're going to sit down and talk to us.
So, Sally, moving on now. So, last year, as you know, we launched a new service, so the Link Volunteer Service. So, the Link Volunteer Program, just in case people don't know what it entails, so the Link Volunteers, they are matched up with someone needing additional support in their geographical area. They can provide up to 12 sessions worth of home visits. It can be a combination of phone calls and home visits, but we do encourage as much as we can the home visits. And the volunteers are there to build a rapport with the individual, or it can be with the individual and their carer. Offer that emotional support, enable them to offload because they may not feel they can to other family members. And it's also about giving them information. They may be new to PSP and CBD, so they might just have a new diagnosis. So the volunteers provide information as well as signposting them on to other organisations. So you've actually supported a couple of people now, I think I'm right in saying.
Yeah, I'm on my third family. And some of it is, as you mentioned, it's the taking in the information, but it's their response to it. Some of them are really shocked. One of them was in particular that he was really shocked his diagnosis had changed
Right,
and the
okay.
implications of PSP compared to what he'd been diagnosed with prior to that.
Okay. So did you just talk him through, not talk him through it, but did you just allow him to kind of explore how he was feeling and kind of offload?
With him, it was quite difficult. He didn't really want to talk. He was still quite
Okay.
angry. The first lady and her carers, the first lady particularly, she didn't have much speech left, but she was still able to express her concerns. And the lovely bit, I saw her on her own. She was able to tell me how worried she was about her daughter being her carer.
Right, okay.
And she'd never had the opportunity to say that before. And it felt like that was the real piece of work I'd done with her.
Okay. So she was able to talk through how she was feeling, and she hadn't been able to do that with anyone else before.
It was normally her daughter being there when she'd been seeing someone, particularly with the medical equipment.
Right.
And that space is important as well. So interestingly, the new one that I'm seeing tomorrow, I've already had two phone calls and several WhatsApp messages with the lady that I'm going to see tomorrow.
Okay. So that looks like it's going to be a really fruitful match up as well then. So
Yes.
I think I'm right in saying you've just started that one, haven't you? You're just a
I
couple of
have,
visits
yes.
in.
This will
Okay.
be the first visit.
Right. Well, it sounds like you're having an amazing impact with that kind of tailored one-to-one support. Now, I know you're probably very confident doing the Link Volunteer role because you'd already been involved with the Hampshire Support Group and your previous career. But what would you say to someone who perhaps was interested in the role but was a little bit nervous about or apprehensive about whether they had the right experience or not?
One of the things I thought about, it's about reassuring them that it's who they are as a person, as much as their experience. They don't have to have been in a professional role that's relevant. It's just whether they've got the ability to listen and to sit with someone who may be distressed, those kind of qualities.
We try, and through the training, we try and prepare people obviously as much as we can. So The training is all remote, so people don't have to worry about coming into the office because obviously all our volunteers are spread around the UK. So the training, as you know, all remote. It's a workbook. We send you the workbook out in the post or online, accompanied with another document which gives you instructions on how to complete the workbook and a very healthily sized publications pack. So it does take quite a while to read through it all, to process all the information, because some of it may not be familiar to some people. And finally, after they've completed the workbook, I would check over it, just make sure that everything's completed okay. And then we have a final session over Zoom where people can ask any questions they have, but also talk through the kind of practicalities of a visit. So the minor things like where do I park or what happens if I knock on their door and no one answers, although it's a prearranged appointment, things like that. So hopefully through the training, we try and prepare people as much as we can.
And I'm glad you went through the training because that is one of the things that I do stress with people. Your training is really professional and really comprehensive. And so there's plenty of training, there's plenty of support. I'd forgotten how much training I did actually.
Yeah, there's a lot to get through, yes.
And the other thing is there's always somebody in the office. So there's always someone we can contact. And I like the way you have us getting together occasionally, just the people who do this role. So it's not all the volunteers together, but specifically to talk about any thoughts and feelings or issues doing this role together.
So we talked about what the training consists of, but also it's important to say that we do go through, particularly over the Zoom session as well, we do go through all the policies and procedures like safeguarding, lone working, how to conduct risk assessments, because all volunteers, before they do a home visit, they will have to do a risk assessment of where they are going to visit. And the safeguarding is also very important. I mean, we've just sorted out a safeguarding vulnerable adults course, and I've sent the link to a lot of the volunteers so they can carry out this. It's about 1.5 hours. It's just to make sure you're up to date with all the legislation around safeguarding vulnerable adults, and it just goes over, so it gives you an overview of the warning signs and what to do if you think someone may be at risk. Also, we can buddy people up with another volunteer. So if they're not sure about the role or they think they would like to become a Link volunteer, but maybe they're a bit tentative about doing it on their own first, we've got a buddy type scheme, so we can always pair someone up with an existing volunteer, someone who knows the ropes and has been at it for a while, so they can take them through things and share their experiences as well, which I think is really important. So it's the discussions, the peer-to-peer discussions, which can be important also. Thanks very much, Sally, for doing this little interview. It's been really interesting hearing all about your experiences at the support group and as a Link volunteer. And again, thanks so much for all your support at PSBA. We wouldn't be able to do most of what we do without all our volunteers who help in all sorts of areas. So thank you very much again.
You're welcome.
So if anyone's listening and is interested in finding out more about not just the Link volunteer role, but any of our volunteering opportunities. I think I mentioned before, we've got helpline volunteer, we've got micro volunteers, which is kind of a one-off help at maybe an event. Also the support group helper and support group coordinator. So if you're interested in any of those roles, then if you just go to our website, If you just type into Google PSP Association, you'll get to our website. And you can contact me at volunteering@pspassociation.org.uk, or you can call 01327 368 597.